Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6.5 FM WPOW HD2 Miami.
The home of the Dolphins.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We start off on the diamond as the Marlins have now won three straight games to move to 10-18 on the season. Game two coming soon as they take on the Phillies at Marlins Stadium. On to the hardwood in the second round of the NBA playoffs has continued as the Cavs take on the Raptors in game one at 8 p.m., followed by Golden State and the Pelicans at 10:30 on TNT. In football news, reports surfaced that the New England Patriots would have traded up to number two to draft Baker Mayfield if he was available. Now on to weather. Today's forecast is currently cloudy with some rains expected throughout the evening. South Florida's newest poker room, Kings Court Key, where you can play your hand and watch every pro game on 50 flat screen TVs, all while enjoying delicious food and drink. Kings Court Key, located east of US 1 in Florida City, kingscourtkey.com. South Florida's newest poker room, Kings Court Key, has all your favorite poker games, including live Texas Hold'em poker, three-card poker, and ultimate Texas Hold'em poker. Kings Court Key, open 7 days a week, located east of US 1 in Florida City. KingsCourtKey.com. I'm Tito Banach, and now it's time for the South Florida High School Sports Show, with, right here with Larry Bluestein on 560.
Get it started.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Look at us, getting it started right here on a Tuesday evening. Welcome everybody in. South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for tonight, 7 to 9. Larry Bluestein, Tito Banach with you as we will take you up until 9 and have a great guest list this evening from all over high school and college. So kind of setting the table right in the middle of spring. You know that everything's going down now. A lot of the teams, a couple teams just started on Monday. Some teams are already in pads and, you know, getting going. It's the only thing to do. And we had the draft over the weekend, and certainly a lot of our guys, a lot of our local guys, did well. I think 9 or 10. We don't include Palm Beach County unless Lamar Jackson. Okay, well, he played here in Broward, so, and we can kind of bring him in as well to 10, plus all the free agents, and wow. Before we get started on this informative show this evening, just letting you know, anytime you can, go to South Florida High School Sports. .com or WQAM.com and push our icon and it'll take you right to just an amazing amount of talent that we have here in South Florida, and we have blogs and we have In the Huddles and we have the Three for Thursdays and the Friday Focuses. We've got it all. That's go to WQAM.com, check out everybody on the station, and then work your way over to ours as well, and you, as well as all the social medias and everything going on. This last weekend was enjoyable. I like the draft. I like to see all these guys that we followed since high school days, where they go, and never had since I started covering. I guess back in the late 70s, early 80s, that I went to all the Dolphin drafts. And you know, at the facility, and Coach Shula would come out and comment on it. But last Saturday was the first time I had been to a real live draft probably in 20 years, maybe 25. I had the opportunity to go to the Dolphins camp on Saturday. And while we were there,
It was for a reason. It wasn't because I'm into the draft all of a sudden. But Parkland Douglas, everybody knows a story of Stoneman Douglas High School and the tragedy that has come out of that. Since the 14th of February, there's been so much good. Whether the kids who are just standing up for what they believe or just anybody associated with the school. And as you know, Aaron Feist, and we talked about Coach Feist, I've known him since he played. And over the last 7-8 weeks, I got a chance to meet his family one by one. His wife, his daughter, Arielle, his father, who was just amazing as well. And one of the other members of his family that I had never gotten an opportunity, his sister, Joanna. And I'll tell you what, when I met her, I was just overwhelmed, just a very intelligent young lady who has so much to tell about her brother and everything that goes along with it. And I asked her to come on the show this evening, and she was a little reluctant at first, but I'll tell you what, she's just such a pleasure to be around. She had an opportunity to hang out with the guys the other day over at the Dolphin camp and got to read on national television, and she joins us this evening. Joanna, thanks so much for taking your time.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I kind of went over everything that has transpired, and I said, the one thing that's probably been lost is we hear about your brother Aaron and what a great guy he was, and what a tremendous football person, and just overall, even if they didn't participate in athletics, he was always there for them. Talk about him the way you knew him and how much he meant, to you and your family, just as a father, as a brother, as somebody who just was, so under the radar. He never wanted to be recognized. Talk about that.
I think my big brother is more of the person, too. He likes doing everything behind the scenes. He doesn't need to take credit for anything. I really don't like talking people up, but in this case, there's no possible way to talk him up because just the type of person that he was. He really is just that go-to guy. If you need anything, he drops what he's doing, and he gets it done for you. His sole purpose was faith, family, football, and that's really what he lived by.
Joanna, in the whole thing that had transpired and everything, up until till now, there's been so much outpouring. The Parkland, the Coral Springs community, obviously all of South Florida, but this has gone beyond that. This is something that just the entire world has embraced, sending their wishes, coaches from everywhere, leaders from everywhere. Talk about that and what it means to have so many people care.
That's been a little intense, but in a good way, because it's nice to know, that the whole community, because I view our community as a family. We're two big cities, but we're very small. We're very close-knit. So it's been nice to know that the rest of the nation and the world has our back in a sense.
It's
good.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it is, and I've seen it, you no matter where you go, here's your brother. His picture is probably 50% of the coaches that I've seen, he's their icon. Here's somebody who is on their, on their websites or on their, Twitter account or Instagram, and that to me is somebody, that's a lot of respect. And I remember, in the days after and all the coaches, because that's a fraternity, and you've been around football, you know it well. Especially with Coach May. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I grew up in football. That was my life. I'm pretty sure I took my first steps at Douglas. All my brothers went there, and it's just the coaches community. You're correct. It is so tight knit, and when one coach is hurting, all coaches hurt. Aaron has been involved and started so many programs for kids. It's like he didn't care where you came from, what you looked like. His sole purpose was to make sure you got the grades that you needed. He would work with the teachers. Way back in 2009, I believe, he had started a camp with, I forget what his name, it was Rodney.
Yeah.
I was little. He was the head of the CCAA, and they got busloads of kids. They had college coaches out there, all for free.
Yep.
All for free.
Yep.
Because there was other kids that were charging $300-$400, but his sole purpose is to make sure that these kids could get the support and the backing that they needed so they could get to where they were supposed to be in life and didn't get looked over.
You know, Joanna, I mean, I was at that event. It was at the BCA. It was like a combine. It was at the Lockhart Stadium, and your brother made sure, I remember that, to set up all the benches and everything like that. I mean, that is amazing, and especially, like you said, for free, because there's a lot of kids that just can't afford to, you know, pay the $50 and $100 that the camps cost. Joanna Feiss is our guest. Her brother, Aaron Feiss, obviously everybody knows from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And that community, I'll tell you, the one thing I found out by going up there and you know, just being around it, it's just everywhere you go, whether it's the public supermarket, there's that MSD Strong in the window. That's got to be a good feeling, too. I mean, not just because of your brother, but the 16 others who lost their lives on that day are being remembered every step that you go. Talk about that and how that feels as well.
Honestly, that goes all back to the community being a family. I've spoken with a lot of the other family members who sadly lost their loved ones as well. And it's the amount of grit that we all have. It's insane. It really is. And it's just, it's a very, very sad thing that's happened. But the good that we're all trying to do to fill the community back up with that love that was taken away. And it's just, it's insane. It really is.
Well, I'll end this kind of on a lighter note. The other day, you guys became stars. I was a little bit jealous that I've never gotten to pick any draft, but you guys got to pick three. Was it three times?
Yeah, it was three.
Three times, and I remember you were the first one out of the box, and that you didn't look nervous. You didn't look nervous. they came up. I mean, it was great. Nobody really knows what goes on behind the scenes, but what did people think? Obviously, everybody saw you. So what was the feedback? Was there any good criticism?
there was same criticism. I think there's a lot of different types of people in the world, which is good, very good.
Yeah.
It was really great experience. You know, the boys had an amazing time. Ariel, my brother's daughter, had a phenomenal time. It was crazy. It's definitely one of those things that's going to be, you know, something you're going to remember. But it was nice because you form relationships with people that you're going to be able to work with in the future to help more kids.
Yeah. No doubt. And your relationship with Ariel, I'm sure, is going to be stronger than ever now.
Yeah, she's a little ham. I love her to death.
She's amazing. And so are you, Joanna. Thanks so much for coming on. Everybody listening, prayers to your family at all times. We'll never forget Aaron. We'll never forget anybody that tragedy took on that day. And again, thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Joanna Feiss, the younger sister of Coach Aaron Feiss, and amazing girl, really is. And she, young lady, I shouldn't just say a girl, but her and her niece, Aaron's daughter, there the other day at Dolphin Camp. What a great thing for all those guys. I mean, they got a chance to meet Dan Marino, and they got a chance to meet Stephen Ross and all this stuff, and a time that they'll never forget. When we come back, big show this evening. I told you Sly Johnson will join us about 7:45 or so. We'll talk to him. He's from Premier Athletes. He has a lot of kids who either were drafted, were free agents, or going to be. We'll talk to him about that. 7:30, Carroll City High School coach Benedict Hippolyte. He wants to get a chance to get to state this year. They got a tremendous team. And when we come back, we'll talk to Miami Central running back, defensive back Shamar Paul next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Flip mode.
Dancing our way right back in here Tuesday evening on the South Florida High School Sports.com radio show right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Larry Bluestein, Tito Banash taking you up until 9 o'clock this evening. Great guest list still to come. Coach Steve Davis in the second hour, the head coach from Plantation. Also, Coach Pete Shinnick, the head coach at the University of West Florida. They'll go in as a defending national championship runner-up. Wow, and that's pretty decent. And in the second year of the program, we'll talk to him as well. Thank you so much to Johanna Feiss, our first guest this evening. And now we turn our attention back to the football gridiron. And one of the players that I've watched for the last couple of years, just an outstanding talent, great running back. Also, back in the day, played some tremendous defensive back. And he kind of caught me off guard this morning with a little surprise. But nevertheless, Shamar Paul joins us in the newest Miami Central Rocket. First of all, Shamar, thanks so much for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Well, here's a big day. I know that you've been running track and putting together some pretty decent times, but I'd much rather just talk to you as the football prospect that you are and what you bring to the table and what you've done so far.
It was breaking up.
Did you hear what I said?
No, you it was breaking up.
No, I just want to talk to you about being, you know, a football prospect and, you know, one of the top football players in South Florida as a running back and also back in the day as a DB. Talk about what you've gotten out of football so far, you know, not only from playing, but just the recruiting process and everything that goes into it.
Well, I was playing when I was young. I learned a bunch of new things as I entered high school. With college coaches, I learned new things a lot, how football goes on, things that you have to do to make my goals, learned a bunch of new things to better myself, not even just with football, life-wise. I mean, like, life-size as a education, how important education is, focusing on things, staying out of trouble, trying to become a better person, and things like that.
And obviously, I mean, this is football's a team game, and certainly you play it together, you learn it together, you discipline together. What was the thing that you probably got out of, you know, the opportunity, you know, to play at the varsity level? You know, there's a lot of guys that probably don't get a chance until their junior year to really fully get into it. Here, you've been blessed with the opportunity, and you stood up over 1,000 yards rushing. Talk about that experience and what it does for you for the next 2 years.
It was good coming in as a freshman playing at varsity level because not a bunch of kids, like you just said, didn't get an opportunity to do that until they was a junior. So coming in as a freshman and playing varsity football, it was hard. It was tough because I was still young at the time. I was only like 14 playing with kids that was over there who knew the game better than me.
Yeah.
So it bettered me as a player to sit down, you know, control the game, put it in the pace that I could focus it on. It was hard, but it got me better. To this day, it got me better. And continuing on to high school, I'm going to continue to get better with that and control the pace, slowing the game down. Because when I came in as a freshman, everything was so fast, I couldn't slow the game down.
Because
other people knew what they were doing. I was still young. I was just used to going. So it helped me slow down and things, focus more film-wise, focus more studying my opponents. It bettered me as a person as that also.
You know, you made a great point, and a lot of people don't consider that, but it's not so easy when you first come in. I mean, you may have the talent, you may run fast, and you may have this or that, but there's guys who probably have 3 years of experience on you, and maybe they're not as good as you and may not be as good as you, but because of what they know, and a lot of people, Shamar, never talk about that, and I thought that's an insight that people don't get a chance to see because, I mean, let's say if you come in, you're a running back, and you have a line that's one of the best in the nation, it's going to open holes for you. You're going to be able to do your thing. But if they're not, you're going to have to kind of like improvise and be instinctive, and that's where the experience comes in. Who probably helped you the most coming in as far as, you know, like kind of taking you by the, you know, under the wing and say, hey, listen, just follow me. This is how things should be done. Anybody, any one person or were there many?
One person, Zuniga, Javi Zuniga. He was the person who he started before me. He was the one who taught me how to slow the game down, you know, read my opponents and stuff like that. He was the one who taught me. I give credit to him for that one.
Yeah, and here's a guy who a lot of people, if you looked at him in street clothes, would just pass him by. And he won the county rushing title 1 year, I believe, when he was at Sunset. Yeah. So yeah, that go ahead.
Yeah, that right there. That's what when I first met him, I never knew he was. So I actually looked him up, and he led. He had like 2,000 yards, I believe.
Yeah. He looks like he could be your chemistry. He looks like he could sit next to you in chemistry. I mean, he really doesn't look like that type of guy. I mean, but he is.
Yeah, he's amazing. When I came in, he taught me the game, helped me read holes, create a couple of moves to make defenders miss. I give credit to him for that.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Credit. Shamar Paul joining us, Miami Central running back, also played defensive back. I know that a lot of people have talked about how good a defensive back you are. Did you get a chance to play any the last couple years as well?
No, as I got into high school, I played running back and just kick returns. Yeah. But my junior, my senior year, I look forward to playing both sides of the ball.
Nice.
So you'll see that this year most likely.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of looking forward to it because I thought you were a pretty darn good running back last year, and you hit the holes. And the one thing is, you were really quiet, and you never, you know, there's a lot of guys when they do things, I mean, they kind of let you know it. You just kind of act like you're supposed to be getting that done, and that to me is pretty decent. How did you pick up football? Was your dad an influence? Who was an influence early on to get, you know, put you into the sport?
Well, to be honest with you, when I first started playing football, I was a crybaby. And my dad, he kept me in it. He kept making me play. And as I grew older, I started to love the game, and that's something I stick to. And I thank my father for keeping me in the game, pushing me to keep playing.
Nice.
So I get credit to him there, too. I'd love him for that. I love the game of football right now. I'm enjoying it. I thank my father for that, for pushing me and keeping me in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. Shamar Paul joining us. Here's another thing. Have you played a lot of 7-on-7? Do you play 7-on-7 as well?
Yes, sir. But this year I missed out because of track. Track kept me busy a lot, so I really didn't get that much of playing 7-on-7 this year.
But track, now here's something with track, and everybody who is a running back or a wide receiver that doesn't that is not training this time of year, they got to be in the track. Now you run 1 and 2 and relays, or what else do you do?
1, 2 and the 4x1. That's it.
Okay. All right. And that's usually what's, you know, you look at programs like American Heritage and Plantation with their 4x1. Well, what does it take? I mean, if you look at me, I've never run track. I wasn't fast. but you do, I mean, it's really got to help. I mean, I've seen the negative part when you get bigger guys and they run, you know, like sprints, and they lose weight. They lose too much weight. And, you know, how do you maintain your weight, Shamar? Do you, or do you lose plenty during the track season, too?
No, I lost a couple of pounds during the track season. Yeah. I lost a couple of pounds. I didn't lose too much, but I lost a little bit running a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, when you start getting recruited, which I'm sure you have, and a lot of guys have been buzzing around wanting to know who you are, what are you looking for in a college? Because there's, you know, everybody looks for different things. I know education is very important to you and your family. What are you looking for, you know, to spend 4 years at a school?
Engineering. College with good engineering. And a college that fits my scheme of play style. A college team that fits my scheme.
I mean,
And for my backup plan, which is engineering, that'll be engineering.
I like to have a good backup plan to have, obviously. And I know you do real well. The coaches have always told me you do real well in the classroom. And that's, I mean, there's a lot of kids that listen to us, I'll be honest with you, and they need to hear that because they're in 6th and 7th and 8th grade now, and they think they've conquered the world. Talk about how important grades are in getting in that classroom and going to school. Tell everybody, because those kids are listening and they want to hear. Shamar,
it's very important. No grades, no football. I was told that a lot. No, since college admissions, when I first started, if you don't got the grades, you can't play football. As a high school, you really have to focus on your grades, because if you don't got a good GPA, you won't be able to play.
Yep.
In school, if you they got good grades, you if you don't got good grades, you won't even be able to step on the field.
No doubt.
So it's important. It's very important.
Yeah.
I have my downs, but gotta stay strong.
Yeah.
Stay focused. Just put your mind to it, and it'll be good. You just put your mind to it and stay focused.
Awesome. Shamar, thanks so much for taking the time. Good luck, and we'll see you, I'm sure, very soon.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. Shamar Paul, who I was greeted this morning with a text that he is no longer at the Doral, and that he has transferred schools. But no matter where he goes, he's going to be just a phenomenal student athlete, and that's the most important. And somebody who backed that statement up a billion times is our next guest, somebody who has had his first year at Carroll City, did an awesome job. He is expecting bigger and better things this evening. One of the coaches, one of the fastest rising coaches, bright guy, tremendous motivator and intelligent. I better not butter him up too much. Coach Benedict Hippolyte joins us. Coach, I gave you a good build-up, but I don't want you to get a big head from that, Dal.
Hey, how you doing, Larry? Good. I appreciate it. It's always a blessing to be on. Thank you for having me tonight.
Not a problem. I know that spring right now, you're right going second week in the spring, looking to find out a lot about this team. New faces, kids graduating coming up. Talk about that. You know, what it's like for you this spring, second year. Now know this is your system, your kids, your coaching staff. Talk about that.
I think in year two, you know, we're very excited. You know, just having the opportunity to kind of put your stamp on things and making sure that everybody understands that this is your program, and just kind of building the staff that you trust and kind of bringing in the kids that buy in and understand what you're trying to do. And it's definitely a bunch of new faces, and these guys who are in place right now are doing such a phenomenal job, from the classroom, from being the school a long time, from transitioning to the weight room to film session, then onto the football field, and definitely having great leaders in El Toro, who's just the offensive coordinator, and also with Coach Greg Moss as the defensive coordinator. These guys will go on and lead these troops and these young men on Friday night to going on the field and executing. And definitely with Daniel Richardson being at the quarterback position, with such great leadership that he bring, and the return of Naquan Wright in the backfield. And, you know, with these guys, we feel really confident and feel real comfortable in what we're trying to do here. So this second year is definitely our season to kind of cash in and kind of accomplish what we're trying to do here. When you're talking about competing for a state title, we're really excited. We're thankful for the process, and it's time for us to get the job done.
No doubt. Coach, you know, when we talk about that commitment, a lot of it, and you've had this no matter where you've been, and I know this is Coach Ice Harris, is getting in the community where you're at, no matter what school it is, whether it's Booker T. Washington or Hallandale or Miami Carroll City, you get into that community that supports that program and that sends the kids there, and you've done that extremely well. Talk about how beneficial that is as well.
That's very beneficial, because I believe we have to build these young men, and understanding that we got to kind of pave the way for them and understanding what's life after football. So we believe in, when we build great leaders for tomorrow, we understand that at a transition on the football field, that they'll be able to go out there and execute and lead the way. I think those things are very important, because they have to understand that football don't last for long, but while it is, they have to make sure that they're taking knowledge from each and everybody and understand that the community comes out and support them every weekend, and understanding that, you know, it's about giving more than receiving, and that's how you multiply your blessings. So I think that is very important, of just developing young men and making sure that they're ready, successful for tomorrow in life, when it's their time to be a leader, when it's their time to be a father, when it's their time to be a professional football player, when it's their time to be a teacher, the president, whatever it is may be. We want to make sure, as coaches, the number one thing is take away coaching and let's put in teaching, that we're teaching these young men what it takes to be tomorrow's leaders, to lead our country, to lead our community, to building them and making us a successful community, a successful program. So it is very important that we focus on the character and the integrity of these young men that will help them be successful for a lifetime.
Good stuff. Coach Benedict Hippolyte, Miami Carroll City, joining us this evening. You know, the other thing, too, is this program, and you watched it from afar for many, many years, and how much tradition is involved and how much community pride is involved. And you've gotten a lot of Carroll City graduates come back and work with you. Talk about that, because I think that's important, too, because that's one of the most tradition-rich programs we have.
Oh, most definitely. I want to say that Carroll City is definitely like one of the most trendsetting programs I've ever been around. You're talking about just a picnic that they just had about 2 weeks ago where they have every alumni, the class of 98, 96, 95, 72, whatever class it is, they all come back, they have their tent, and they celebrate just the culture and the community and the program and the school of Miami Carroll City. And now you have a lot of other schools that looked in and saw what they're trying to do and want to come back and do the same thing like Miami Norland, where they'll be doing theirs in July. But it started off with the program, the community of Miami Carroll City, with the alumni. They do a phenomenal job of making sure that they come in and they walk practice, coming back, giving the kids a word or two, showing the support on social media, coming to the game and making sure that people understand that these kids understand that it's a legacy that they have to withhold. That Coach Walt Frazier and the Aubrey Hills, these guys who came through the school and made sure that they paid the way and built a successful program, that it means something when you come to Miami Carroll City. Yeah. This is a community school, and you understand that it's bigger than just you. It's bigger than just me. We're playing for that community. We're playing for each other. We're playing for the faculty. We're playing for the staff. We're playing for family. We're playing for the man upstairs. Just understanding that it's bigger. The program is bigger than just us. And it's guys who came through this program, who paid the way, who's made the sacrifices, who don't have all the resources that these young men have these days. And they had to do it with no huddle, with no social media, and not getting the exposure. But now you have the opportunity by these guys, these championship teams before them, making the sacrifice, making the commitment with lack of resources and still getting the job done. And it's up to us to continue to build on that legacy and leave it the way these guys left it into my hand. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I'm so thankful to be a part of such a great tradition, a great legacy, and one of the best in the country that we're going to continue to build on.
And you sold me a long time ago. The one thing I was going to tell you is that you look on field now, and everybody knows the district is one of the best in the country, if not the best, talent-wise, with Central and Northwestern, Norland, all playing competitive football. But also your schedule. You've kind of ramped that up the last couple of years. I know you learned that from Coach, down at Booker T, Coach Harris, because when you play those tough teams and you win, and even if you lose the close games, people will always respect you. You were part of that deal that went out to Vegas during the national championship year. How important is a schedule that you have? Because I know it's loaded.
Oh, it is very important when you're talking about making sure that you put the right schedule in place to make sure for the long run down the stretch that these young men are battle-tested. So we definitely want to make sure throughout the course of the year the schedule is challenging enough to make sure that they're facing enough adversity, so when it's time towards that stretch and that back end, when you're talking about making a run for a state championship run, we've been in position and we've been challenged enough. So we want to make sure that to be the best, we got to play the best and beat the best. So we want to make sure that we do not shy away from no team across the country. If a schedule is available for ourselves and if it's available for them, we want to make sure that we expose our kids to the best of talents across the country, because we know the more we play against the best, the more it brings the best out of us as coaches and the best out of us as student athletes. Yeah. And in order to be the best, man, you got to beat the best. And you can't dodge that. And one thing about South Florida football, I can say that many coaches across the county, from Dade Broward, Palm Beach, everybody's willing to play at all times. So one thing that I like is just about making sure that we create a competitive schedule, a competitive atmosphere, so when we talk about entering the tournament or championship rounds and that's going, making that run for the state championship, we are prepared, we understand what it takes, and we understand what it means to play for each other once we get down that run. Because it's not about how you start, because if you can look back when we was at Booker T. Washington and I served as the offensive coordinator, we had a difficult schedule through the course of the year. We fell short and lost to every inner-city game, every inner-city school, lost every game, lost five games, and we probably broke every record in the worst way. But one thing that we understood was we still had a fresh breath of life and understand that we had another opportunity once we punch our ticket in into entering to the tournament or championship round, that we still controlled our own legacy. And that was what we did. We went in there in the second half of the season. We believed we had another opportunity. We were challenged. We played against the best talent all year. And when we got there, we was able to stand up and make sure that we was understanding that was about team first. And once we did it and we arrived, we came back with a state championship and brought it back to the community. So that's one thing we want to make sure throughout the course of the year, that we're challenged, we're battle tested, we're not shying away from not playing anybody. It doesn't matter what year we play. It don't matter if we have a high year or low year. If the schedule is available, we will play, because we understand it's about putting these kids in position to be prepared and battle tested to winning a state championship.
Good stuff. Coach, I appreciate you getting on and giving us a little bit. When's your spring game?
We'll be playing May 18th versus Lakewood, St. Pete, out of St. Pete, at Brad Powell, 7:30, Lakewood.
Little irony there when St. Pete, Lakewood, and Miami Booker T each had three kids drafted. And I remember you guys played years ago in the spring, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we look forward into playing. Coach Corey Moore does a great job with those student athletes up there in St. Pete and making sure that they're developed and they're ready. And they have quite a few guys that entered into the draft. So we want to make sure that, when we always like to kind of schedule guys who's going to make sure the game is competitive and give us something to gain from and learn from to get prepared through the course of the summer and get ready for the fall in this quest of winning a state championship. So we're excited about May 18th, and we just look for everybody to come out and enjoy one of the greatest show on turf.
We'll see it. Coach, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. he's been on with us a couple of times. He needs to learn how to turn down his radio in the background, Tito. You know how that is. When we come back, remember, we're here until 9 o'clock. Still to come in our second hour. I told you, Coach Steve Davis of Plantation, he's turned things around. Believe me, that's a really good football program. Head coach of University of West Florida, our guy, Coach Pete Shinnick. We'll talk to him, see how spring went on. Last year's 3A state champion, Chaminade Madonna, the guy who led him there offensively, quarterback Daylon Menard, he'll join us. And about 8:05 or so, we'll talk to one of the newer University of Miami commitments, linebacker Anthony Solomon of St. Thomas Aquinas. When we come back, we wrap up our number one, Sly Johnson. Premier athletes, we'll talk some prospects.
Radio.com.
Back to wrap up hour number one of our South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Tito Banash as we take you up until 9 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much to Shamar Paul, who's Miami Central running back, as well as Coach Benedict Hippolyte from Miami Carroll City. Always optimistic, and certainly has a reason to. The Chiefs are loaded again this year, but again, when you have to knock heads with Northwestern and Central, it's not going to get any easier. Just another reminder, you can catch us on our social media, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, as South Florida High School Sports on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. We get everything out as much as possible. And then you go to the website, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Over 10 new blogs every week. We've had almost 80 of them in the last couple of months. Previews of everything from, for the upcoming season to individual players and rankings. So we have it all for you, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Last week we talked about the draft. A lot of the kids locally, not just drafted, I think we had 10 because we're kind of pulling in Lamar Jackson as one of them. But there were a lot of kids also that will have signed as free agents. One of the people down here that we always hook up with, go to his workouts, Sly Johnson from Premier Athletes. He's in tune to a lot of those guys. They work out with him throughout the year, and certainly last week was a time where he was not only watching his kids, but also watching some of the draft to see where some of the players that Sly Johnson kind of started off was going. He joins us this evening. Sly, thanks so much for taking the time. I know that obviously last week was like a proud papa to see some of them kids.
Oh, man, it's great watching them grow up and then get to live their dreams. It's like watching a movie up close. So, yeah.
And you get a chance, obviously, to do this year-round, work with them, work on the craft, as you say, or just no matter what. And I know you and I share in a lot of the kids that we see at your events, and we agree on, you know, how far their ceiling is. And one of the guys this last week, I know that you had a great pleasure with the kid Blake from Cardinal Gibbons, somebody that you watched from the beginning. Talk about what it's like to see, you know, that hard work that you put in, the hard work that they put in, pay off.
First off, Christian's just a great person.
Yeah.
So to see him, do well, I'm not surprised, but it's still rewarding. It's still fulfilling, you know.
Yeah.
To watch him go from the skinny kid at Cardinal Gibbons, you remember?
Yeah.
To an NFL football player is it's phenomenal, to be honest. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
And you get a chance, you know, we talked 2 years ago about Daniel Braverman out of Western Michigan. And now there's in that free agent pool, and also the kids that are working out with you now. I mean, you see a lot of these young men that have a lot of potential that you saw when they first got out there. And I'm sure that that's a story within itself.
Yeah. Yes. From Braverman to Kings, he's in the CFL now, to Le Mans is with the Falcons. It's really phenomenal to see how many different kids and their relationships continue as they get older and they get to live their dreams together.
Yep. Sly Johnson joining us, premier athletes. He's out there, whether it's at now it's been at Chaminade, but the thing is, people don't realize when you get together, you have the elite of the elite high school kids, along with kids who are in college that come back, and you know if they're in town, they're working out with you as well, which is just such a huge opportunity for these young kids. Talk about that, because that probably goes unnoticed to see a kid that's in his second year of college as opposed to a kid that's in his second year of high school.
It really allows them to get used to the speed of the game, the tempo. When the kids come home, they come home with their college tempo, and they don't slow it down for our kids at all. So that's the tempo of the camp. It's high paced, fast moving, a lot of moving parts, a lot of quick decision making, and they go to the next level and they assimilate very quickly.
Right.
It's not, their head isn't spinning. You know, they're used to the rhythm. They're used to the cadence. They're used to the intricacies happening at a high rate. So,
right.
Yeah, it helps them transition, definitely. Yeah.
And also, too, you look at the speed of the game. And, I mean, and you, as somebody who ran one of the fastest 40 times, you know, ever, you know, as somebody who understands what speed can do, but at the same time understand if you don't have that craft and you don't and you can't play the game, all that 4.25 is going to do is get you faster to make somewhere faster to make a mistake. It's so important not to just be that track guy, but to be somebody who has some skill. Talk about that too. And you know, you and I go over a lot of the things when your kids are at events, like going to Nike camp or going to Under Armour, and you're a big stickler on them not going against each other, and I understand that, but talk about what that's like and teaching them all that and understanding that, yeah, you run a 4.4, but you're not a good football player. What do you do? And I know you've molded a lot of kids like that, because you're not there to train them. All that you're there to teach them how to play that or how to play a position. Talk about that and how kids, you've seen kids who are just track athletes become football players as well.
The craft, as I call it, is really it's a skill set. It's kind of like martial arts. It's about using leverage and the rules of football against the opponent or to your advantage. It's one and the same. So seeing kids that don't run quite as fast as someone else run right by them or cover them up is that's part of the craft. So they call it, I guess they call it football speed.
Yeah.
But really, it's, yeah. But really and truly, it's kids knowing what they're doing and kids that don't know what they're doing. And we're able to maximize their quote-unquote football speed because you can teach them where they're supposed to be and they can anticipate, because football is a bunch of patterns and it's rhythmic and it's repetitive. It's the same. It's just different formations, but it's the same concepts over and over again. So once you get used to the concepts, it becomes second nature. They'll look faster than what they really are.
Right. And you get a chance now to see a lot of those kids every Saturday, Sunday, mostly Sunday with the older group. And you watch and you look at like a Daniel Restrepo, I mean, a Xavier Restrepo and kids who came there from when they were younger to where they are now. He's going to be a junior next year at St. Thomas. And right. You look back, right. And I think you told me that you recall what you had to work on with a lot of these kids, and now that they've worked on them, what they've become. Let's use Xavier as an example of somebody mm-hmm. who came to you with a lot of passion to the game, right. maybe not a lot of knowledge of it, and now he's transformed. Talk about that.
He had a lot of knowledge on the defensive side. He was a defensive player his entire life.
Right.
I believe he played a little offense, but he was mostly a defensive kid. But, you know, I'm familiar with the physical profiles and how hard it is for DBs that don't look the same as the DBs on TV.
Yeah.
So, did I word that nicely?
Yeah, very nice.
So we decide to play a position where he looks like the guy looks like Amendola or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where it's believable. Barrios, look, it worked for him.
Yes, so, yes.
So now we take a great athlete that knows football and teach him the offensive side of the football game, because he's a football player anyway, and teach him the concepts like we just talked about, the craft. It's very yes. intricate, too. I can't really get into it that much on the phone.
But that's okay.
It's really using the rules and techniques and fundamentals that they're taught, the opposing person, using that against them, because they're held accountable by their coaches, you know?
Yep. No, I understand that.
So once you understand those concepts, football becomes, it's not easy, but.
Easier. Becomes,
yes, rhythmatic, yeah. and patternistic. It becomes patterns.
Good stuff.
Yes, he has it. He has it offensively and defensively, and now Restrepo has become a national recruit and will do well at the next level. He'll transition immediately because he's been going against college kids, like you mentioned earlier, for years at this point. So the kids that he sees on TV, he goes against them in real time. So takes away the fear factor. So they assimilate very quickly.
Yeah, a lot of those kids get a lot more confidence. Sly, in closing, if there's kids out there, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old that want to start the game and learn it the right way, how do they get in contact with you guys?
We're at SlyJohnson3 on Twitter, SlyJohnson on Facebook, and Premier Athletes on Instagram.
Okay.
That's it.
And you post all the time, tell them when the events are going to be, when, you know, we're going today, we're not going today, it's raining, it's beautiful, and you're a social media guy, and that's a good thing, and I appreciate you breaking down some of the kids. I know a lot of people out there listening and wanted to see where these kids came from, and certainly you've fostered a lot of them along the way, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it for having me on. You're the best.
Anytime, buddy. Sly Johnson, Premier Athletes. If you go to one of his Sunday events, or usually at Chaminade, 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock on a Sunday, wow. I mean, they have some of the best quarterbacks, receivers, and such hanging out there. Don't go away. We have one more hour to go. Tremendous guest coming up. We'll start it in about 5 or 6 minutes. Anthony Solomon, who is on his way to the University of Miami. We'll talk to him from St. Thomas Aquinas. Dalen Menard will join us, quarterback from Chaminade Madonna, who now they are the defending 3A state champions. Head coach Pete Shinnick will join us. Great guy. West Florida took that team, the Paladins, to the national championship game only in year number 2. And also Coach Steve Davis from Plantation. Great hour. We're going to be right back after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.